May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The psalmist cries out with joy, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things." St. Cross, I'd like to encourage you to sing that new song, the song of a holy cross and a holy call. Let me explain. On this joyous occasion, we celebrate St. Cross as the offspring of the Holy Cross. St. Cross's holy day, where we remember the amazing gift of amazing grace that God bestows on us. God's deep and boundless love for us revealed in the life of Jesus. Jesus, who called disciples, healed the sick, taught the curious, and raised the dead. Jesus, who eschewed the partisan politics of his day, upended expectations, inverted power structures, and clashed with the leaders of the status quo. Jesus, who, instead of kowtowing to the high and mighty, served the poor and marginalized. And at age 30, with that business plan fully implemented, it only took 3 years for his life to reach its logical conclusion. Nailed to a cross, Jesus' death was designed to serve as a warning to anyone who might try to follow his example. No one wants to die at 33, and no one wishes to die upon a cross. Yet Jesus was determined, in an act of utter selflessness, to die for us, washing the stain of our sin clean away. And Jesus had another purpose in his death on that cross, to move us from fear to faith, to enable us, empowered by his Holy Spirit, not only to walk out of the darkness into the light, but to invite others to join us on that journey. Today, on this Holy Cross Day, we give thanks that Jesus was so determined, was so certain that if he pressed on, something would happen which would break the power of evil once and for all. Jesus knew that obedience to that holy cross was sure to strike a death blow to Satan, the prince of darkness. Jesus broke evil's stronghold, weakening its death grip on our lives and shining an everlasting light in the darkness. And Jesus knew that light has an attractive quality to it. John records Jesus speaking emphatically to his closest disciples. He said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to me." And he added, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light." What does it look like when we become children of light? There's a little known story about Jesus that I've found very helpful and that you will not find in any Bible. But I found it very helpful in understanding what it might be like to walk as a child of the light. So the story goes like this. Following Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, and all those post-resurrection appearances that are recorded in Scripture, we know that Jesus ascended, meaning he returned to the realm of God. As he was approaching his heavenly home, he was greeted along the way by some very excited angelic beings who wanted to escort him to those pearly gates. There, the archangel Gabriel welcomed Jesus and, in greeting him, said, "Jesus, it is so good to have you back here. How did your mission go? Tell us all about it." And Jesus says, "It went pretty well, if you ask me. About 3 years ago, I began inviting people to join me, to walk with me, to learn from me, you know, to be my disciples. I gathered 12 men and a bunch of women began to follow too, so I knew I was off to a great start. I could see others were curious, so I taught the ones who followed me closest with the idea that they would invite and teach others, and they would invite and teach others, and they would invite and teach others. So yeah, exponentially, the teaching and the inviting would grow until everyone would have a chance to hear about me and the freedom and salvation that comes through God by knowing me. So yeah, it was great." To which Gabriel replied, "What's plan B?" My brothers and sisters, there's never been anything but a plan A, and you are plan A. This is our holy call. This is the new song that we are to sing. St. Cross, I'd like to encourage you to sing this new song, this song of a holy cross and a holy call. On this day, we remember and celebrate how God took what was intended by evil men to be a device of death and torture and transformed it into a holy locus for light and life. And God can do that for you too. Now we are called to be children of the Holy Cross and bearers of that sacred light. St. Cross, you are called to be the church. As baptized members of the body of Christ, you are to be gathered and scattered to be a light shining in the darkness for others to see and for others to follow. You are called to be bearers of God's restoration and hope. As the writer of Philippians proclaims, we, the church, find our true identity in Christ. We, the church, are to adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus, to humble ourselves before God in obedience to God's mission, to bow to Jesus and to confess that Jesus is Lord, the one whose lead we follow. Put another way, it's not so much that God's church has a mission, it is that God's mission has a church. I'm going to repeat that. It is not so much that God's church has a mission as that God's mission has a church. Saint Teresa of Avila put it this way, and I invite you to go look this up, print it out, make it your prayer, and make it your practice. Saint Teresa said, "Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours." St. Cross, are you ready to sing this song?
Yes.
Oh, good. For God has done marvelous things. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.